A swathe of treetops. Day 81.
Got less than 10 days now. Time is ticking.
Where is he?
As soon as we arrived, we heard a roar, so he's definitely around.
A black man with a stubbly black beard takes the cap off his camera lens, then asks, "Can I go up there?" He and a guide are picking their way through a thick forest. They wait, scouring the nearby tangle of undergrowth. Suddenly, a gorilla pounds through the bushes. The cameraman and the guide watch, their mouths and noses covered with masks. The guide says, "Peng Wei displays behaviors that are very specific and unique to him. They are different from other gorilla families that I've seen in Kayuzi Biega. He has his characteristics of being in charge." In the forest, someone says, "Get back, get back, get back. He's in the dark over there." The gorilla's hidden in a hollow amidst a tangle of bushes.
I have two minds fighting each other.
Let's move forward again.
One is to see the gorillas being habituated, so they get used to humans.
As the ranger cuts through undergrowth with a machete, the silverback runs at him, and someone says, "Get back, get back, get back."
But one is to have Peng Wei remaining wild. I just wish I knew a little bit more about what I was getting into.
The gorilla bares his teeth and approaches menacingly. "Get back, get back, get back." 3 months earlier. The cameraman is in a plane. "Ladies and gentlemen, we're currently heading westbound. Shortly, in about 1 minute, we shall commence our descent. 7:30 local time. Have a very good morning. Stay safe." Day 1. Vianney de Genge.
As a wildlife cameraman, I've been lucky enough to film the most iconic animals on the planet.
The Democratic Republic of the Congo.
But gorillas hold so much significance to me.
Vianney's in a truck, travelling down a forest path, following another truck full of men with guns.
You find these creatures only right in the middle of Africa.
Kayuzi Biega National Park.
This is where I come from.
Vianney, can you quickly set the camera up there? Is it the group we're looking for? I don't know yet. It's as if they might cross the road.
Now, I'm heading to document a mission to save the last remaining Eastern Lowland gorillas.
A small gorilla crosses the road.
Mobutu could do nothing to stop the panic and lawlessness in Kinshasa.
Pressure from war, deforestation and poaching has pushed these creatures to the verge of extinction.
During the war, half population of these gorillas were killed and eaten for bushmeat.
To combat this, the government has turned to ecotourism.
Oh wow, fantastic. So cool.
Tourist income will pay to ensure that the gorillas are protected and their habitat is secured.
Our motto is that we would give our blood for the protection of our gorillas.
The goal is to habituate a family of gorillas. A process designed to gradually get them used to humans.
Lombert, which group is it? It's Peng Wei. Vianney looks delighted.
This is our group. But will the gorillas, highly protective alpha male, be willing to accept us? In the end, it's all down to him.
Silverback. Vianney diary cam. He comes to sit on a chair, set up beneath a microphone in front of a camera.
We are in the Democratic Republic of Congo. invited by the Kayuzi Biega National Park.
Kayuzi Biega National Park HQ.
What is at stake here is the survival of this creature.
Ready, Vianney? Yes.
Oui. So what we're going to be doing is following habituation. Essentially a process of getting a group of wild gorillas used to a human presence. So tourists can safely enter their territory. What we're going to be doing, no one has filmed before. Every day for the next 3 months, we're going to try to get closer, gradually becoming part of the gorilla family. But with primates, it's never easy. The last thing they want to do is hang around humans. To them, you are afraid.
The trucks are traveling through the forest.
Gorillas usually live in a family of between 5 and 10, led by an alpha male, which is the silverback. 99% of gorilla films are with habituated gorillas. The habituated group is no dangerous to film, but to film a non-habituated group, you're putting your life in danger because the silverback is there to protect every single member of his family. The silverback is about 3 times my size. He weighs 250 kilograms, and the strength is unprecedented. Him attacking me would be lethal. But that said, as a wildlife cameraman, I like to film really wild animals. Then you get to see the behavior that you've never seen before. That's what does it for me. However, with a truly wild silverback, will 3 months be enough for him to essentially accept me into his family?
Sierra Tango 5 to Sierra Tango 6. Affirmative. The guides are already in the field, and they've already located the gorillas. They've told me it will take us around an hour or more to reach the gorillas. Thank you. The rangers set off on foot. Sitting inside, Chief Guide Papa Lambert Mongan says, before the war in Kayuzi Biega, there were more than 630 gorillas in the highland area.
Okay, let's go now.
They set off into the forest.
And
now, with the 13 families in the monitoring operation, there are around 170 gorillas. This family that we're following is called Pungwe. The family is called Pungwe because the name of the silverback is the name of the whole family. It's a big family of 23 gorillas currently. It's been 1 year and 5 months since we started the habituation of the Pungwe family. It's work that takes between 2 and 10 years. It's very hard work, but we must try to habituate more families. This will really help us to generate a lot more funds. And from that, Kayuzi Biega can become financially self-sufficient by itself. Do you think we're getting near? Yes. They are around here, but the forest is very dense here.
Okay.
Lambert peers out over his mask.
To habituate a gorilla family, essentially, you are trying to show them that you are a friend. And you do this by acting like them.
Okay, on avance.
To let them know we're here, there are a few signals that we use. Lambert beats his chest. Once you do that, the babies see that their friends have arrived and start to observe you. A movement in the bushes. Lambert drums his fingers against his chest.
For them to see
us acting the same is to reassure them, to make them feel comfortable around us.
You can even use your cheeks. A gorilla peers through some leaves, while another hangs from a tree, watching. Vianney adjusts his camera.
Filming gorillas always feels magical to me. I can't get enough of them.
A gorilla pounds its chest, and two hang from a slender branch, bending it right over and splintering the wood. Vianney has a beaming smile on his face as he watches them.
The thing that I love the most about filming gorillas is observing how similar they are to us.
The expression, mannerism, the dexterity of their hands, it's just like us.
A gorilla's hand on a branch.
In fact, gorillas are so similar to us, they can catch human diseases. That's why when they are in close proximity to us, we have to wear masks. I mean, they are one of our closest cousins behind chimps and bonobos.
A young gorilla with a twig in its mouth.
The baby's playing. That means the silverback is not very far away.
However, in the middle of a dense forest, it can be hard to see Pongwe or the females. The team pick their way through trees.
Gorillas are just constantly on the move, looking for bamboo shoots or other foliage to eat. They can quite easily cover up to 5 kilometers a day. So to keep up with them is really exhausting.
Lambert, I find it's extremely difficult for us to weave in and out. However, for the gorillas, it's very easy. Yes, it's easy for the gorillas. It's with their weight that they make paths. Great, that's impressive. Yes, it's impressive. It's their land, yes. How large is the park? 6,000 square kilometers. Wow. Lambert cuts through dense foliage and Vianney follows. A glimpse of the silverback through the trees. Is that him? Yes.
The silverback is about 20 meters from us. Food is very thick foliage. No way I can film it because it's really dense.
Follow me this way. Vianney gets his camera out and follows Lambert through the dense trees. The silverback is a few meters away. Let me go in front. Vianney goes ahead and films the gorillas through the trees. Slowly, slowly, slowly. I'm not seeing much.
This is a completely different story to what I normally do when I film gorillas. The habituated group is already used to humans. These gorillas are wild. They don't know us, they can't trust us, especially the silverback, you know. He's very serious, he's got a job to do. Look after his family, look after his females.
He stalks through the forest on all fours. The habituation process is focused only on the male. Why is this? There's only one male who is in charge of the family. And as soon as the male accepts us, the females and babies accept us naturally. A glimpse of black hair through dense foliage as the team hang back. Is he there? No, not yet. You'll have to cut this back a bit. I can't even see anything. Prepare yourself because the male will charge when I start to cut this down. Okay. Lambert starts to cut. He's coming, he's coming. Vianney adjusts his lens.
When the habituation starts, a silverback will charge. That charge is the way of saying, look, I've got a family here, so
to back off.
Fred, if you stand your ground, it stops him moving forward.
The male pounds towards them, then stops and stalks off on all fours. Vianney wipes his face with his scarf. Lambert says, you try to temper their aggressive tendencies little by little. The male, who used to charge at us from 25 metres, will start to reduce this distance. When the male sits down comfortably 7 or 10 metres away, observing us without moving around, he's no longer afraid. Then we know that the habituation is 100% successful.
I didn't quite realise how heavy habituating gorillas was. You really have to keep following them. If people disagree with this method, I can totally understand. But you have to be cruel to be kind. And this is the pure example of it.
Vianney packs up his camera.
Back in the 80s, habituation also helped mountain gorillas. There were around 400 left. And then Virunga Buindi National Park followed the same process. Now we have more than 1,000 individuals. So it works.
All good? Yes. A swathe of dense trees. Then it's raining. Gorillas walk all day long, but at around 6:30 in the evening, the male starts to look for a place that's safe for his family. A gorilla moves through the trees, and rain drips from a fern-like leaf. Now an adult is sitting a distance away and Vianney is filming. Lambert says, the adults will begin to mix together leaves and branches to build a nest that I like to call a little mattress. A female sitting on its nest. The baby on its back is fast asleep.
So do they only ever stay in their nests for one night?
Yes, they tend to move around according to where they're going to be eating at the end of the day. And then if they found around that area, everything is perfect, so they'll start building a nest.
A gorilla lies down on its nest, pulling a branch down in front of it.
That is genius. She just pulled the curtain down to cover herself and her baby. Who told you that gorilla don't know what privacy is all about?
Moving slowly through the treetops.
That was a successful day, I would say. I can see how the habituation has progressed quite far already in terms of how relaxed the juveniles are. However, it feels like we still got a long way to go before the silverback and other adults accept us. And I can see it's a tough job for this eco guard who devoted their lives to gorillas. It's really tough.
Welcome to our habituation camp. This is where the team stays. The eco guards leave very early in the morning to find the gorillas. You'll see that it's a job that demands a lot of energy. Above all, it's important that the people who work here feel motivated. A smoke fills the shelter. One of the eco guards waves it away with his hat. A big pot of food is being prepared.
There are certain things about this very country that I'll react straight away. Although they seemed really happy, from my point of view, I felt like, come on, they deserve better than that, big time. These guys work really hard. And what do they get in return? I am quite ashamed that a majority of people in this country live on less than $1 a day, literally nothing.
Driving through a small town.
Let's face it, I am one of them. It's just that I was lucky
I was born with parents that had different opportunities.
A bird's eye view of the vehicle travelling along a dirt road that skirts along the top of a ridge.
I was born in a very large family. If you see it from a Western point of view, a family of eight, and I'm right in the middle, number four. My mother was a head teacher, and my dad was a medical doctor. We lived in the Republic of Congo, in the capital of Brazzaville. We weren't poor. I never struggled for anything, really. It was a strong family, really strong together. But sadly, I've got like two photos of my childhood. One of me and my sister and my brothers. And maybe one of my granddad as well. But yeah, most of our stuff were completely destroyed.
The black and white photo of four little children, then colour stills of armed men.
Back in 1997, the country was going through a huge upheaval. We were leaving us at the country at the time. Therefore, the house was left alone.
Fire billowing up from a rooftop.
We were amongst those who weren't lucky. The house was looted and burnt.
Fire raging through a house.
So we lost all our belongings.
A map showing the Republic of the Congo.
That very region in the 90s was completely affected by political instabilities. The Democratic Republic of Congo also went through consecutive wars.
Film of soldiers and tanks.
And that also affected the numbers of the guerrillas, so the population plummeted. And the eastern part of the DRC, where I currently am, hasn't fully recovered. And it's possible that unrest can break out again. And that's the reason why I'm making this film. To give the park visibility, to make sure that the guerrilla are protected and their home is protected.
Nighttime in the national park. Lambert says, regarding the management of our country, nothing can work in terms of nature conservation when there is a war. If the politics of our country become chaotic, meaning that the eco-guards no longer have the access to continue the guerrilla habituation, frankly, Pungwe could become wild again. But I think that the process we are undertaking won't fail. It will continue until Pungwe is habituated. Day 14. The group of eco-guards are gathered on a road.
So today we'll be focusing on the silverback because he's the one that will open the gates for us.
Okay,
let's go. Let's go? Yes.
For the last 2 weeks, I haven't been able to fully see the silverback. He's always been hiding behind the foliage. But today, I really would like to see him face to face. That's the only way I can start building trust with him. I can see how difficult it is to actually habituate a group of gorillas because they just want to make sure that there's the distance between you and them. As soon as you cross that little boundary, the male charges.
Slowly, 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 the male runs past, beating his chest.
Okay,
we just need to find a way for him to not move, because while he's moving, I can't film at all. Come through here.
This is so challenging.
Maperu, is the male on that side? They are on this side. Is there a gorilla up there? It's hard to see them. Who's that? Is it Pungwe? No, no, no. It's a female. It's a female. Okay. Vianney sets up his camera while Lambert looks around. Vianney flicks a switch on his camera. Through a tangle of branches, there's a glimpse of black hair. A human hand rests on a leg. The gorilla sits motionless, its back to a tree. Then it turns its head to look at the humans. Vianney watches quietly, his mouth and nose covered with his scarf. The gorilla stares over. It has dark eyes over a large, flattened nose.
Which female is this one?
Tulio.
She's extremely confident, huh?
It's the female who comes from an old family, from the old habituations. It was a big family that was impacted a great deal by the war.
This female we're filming here, she's slightly different to the rest of the group. She's fully habituated. That's why she's quite relaxed, being only 7 meters away. And that's why she's got the name Tulia. When you have a name, that is the last stage of the habituation process. This is how relaxed we are hoping Fungwe and the rest of his family will become.
Hello?
Yeah?
Is it possible to follow the silver back?
Yeah.
That way? Yes. Oh. Try to walk faster. Move faster. Where have you got to? Put the tripod here. Set up quickly, otherwise he might climb down. Lambert stops, staring up into the trees, while Vianney sets up his camera. The silverback is sitting on a branch high up in a tree with his back to them. The silverback is there, just there. I can see his back, but I can't see his face. The silverback looks up into the tree, then, slowly, turns his face to one side. Pungwe, there you are.
Oh, la, la.
Pungwe tilts his face so it's in view. Very impressive seeing his face for the first time. How old is Pungwe? He's grown now. He's 35 years old. 35 years old? He's in his prime then. Pungwe climbs up the tree. Look at his size.
Whoa!
When we met Pungwe for the first time, he was only a family of 8 gorillas. Pungwe climbs up the tree. But Pungwe is the biggest out of all the silverbacks at Kayuzi Biega. He met wild families and stole wild females. And Pungwe's group is now made up of 23 gorillas. Pungwe is high up in the tree. When you're with Pungwe, you'll feel like he's truly a strong man. He takes charge and maintains control of his family very well. That's why I love Pungwe. He has the type of personality that commands respect. Pungwe moves around the highest branches.
Look at that.
The power, it's magnificent. Pungwe crosses easily to another branch.
It amazes me how a 2.5 kilogram creature can climb a huge tree like that.
Vianney's eyes are wide as he watches over the top of his purple scarf. A rustling in the bushes. Then Vianney looks down and starts to fiddle with his camera. Vianney, are you okay? When you film them like that, it's a huge pleasure. You can feel the adrenaline. But there's another side to it as well, which is very sad. They are basically on their way to extinction. Lombert says, us, now, and the future generations, we must all call upon our conscience in order to safeguard this biodiversity. Vianney nods, looking thoughtful and wiping his lips with his scarf. He says, hang on 1 minute, and disappears behind his camera. He hangs his head, staring down at the ground with a somber, pensive expression.
Okay.
I thought you were hiding from me a bit.
No, I wasn't hiding at all. I was just, you know, it's just... I started to feel the connection with the group. And I think about these poor creatures being persecuted. And all they do is look after their families like any creature should do on planet Earth. Yeah. And beyond that, I'm also trying to connect to this silverback, you know? This patriarch.
A statue of a gorilla on all fours.
Gorillas are very much like humans. We share more than 98% of our genetic codes with them. And whenever I spend time with these cousins of ours, I can't help drawing similarities between their world and my world.
Vianney comes to sit on the chair for the diary cam.
It's bizarre, I think, that way, but every time I film the silverback, I always think of loads of resemblances to my granddad Boniface.
The silhouette of a man smoking a pipe.
This sort of sense of family protection, the sense of gentleness, the mannerism, and how he holds himself, how he talk, how he looked at people. Everything a proud and confident male would want to be, he had it all. People in the community and in within the family really looked up to my granddad. He was the pillar in the family, the patriarch, you know. And I always wanted to be like him. The protecting figure, the leading figure, the silverback.
A gorilla in silhouette, with a background of dark clouds. Sunrise over the forest. Day 21. The rangers are sitting under the shelter by a campfire on which a large pot is steaming.
I feel like we have taken a big step forward. Now that me and Pung, we have looked at each other in the eye, I hope we started to build some trust between us. Now, I would love to see if he can let me get a bit closer to meet some of his family that he's been protecting so well. I know it must not be easy for him to let his guard down because gorillas and humans still don't have the best relationship. A fact that these rangers are trying to change.
Vianney scrolls through photos of the rangers on his phone. Lombert says, I was born at the very edge of Kayuzi Biega National Park. And from a young age, I wanted to work to protect animals. I dreamt every night about becoming an eco-guard one day to protect gorillas. The guards climb into the back of a pickup. Our main goal is to make sure that the park limits are respected. When the local population is inside the park, they'll tell you they came to chop down trees or to lay traps to catch antelope or other animals. A row of animal skulls. It will adversely affect our habituation process.
résultat négatif. En fait,
so it's very important to maintain a good relationship between the local population and all the gorilla families that we have here. It's a story that John told me about. John was my first coach in gorilla habituation. Papa John Kahekwa, founder Pole Pole Foundation, partner of the national park.
First, I was a park ranger, the gorilla habituation officer. Now I'm a consultant to the park when they need something related to gorillas, training rangers and so on. They always come to me.
Okay. Lombard speaks to the eco guards. Okay, to control the sector and to make sure that we have reduced the threats for the gorillas, today we are a team responsible for carrying out anti-poaching patrols so that the gorillas do not fall into the traps of poachers.
Okay.
A young guard standing holding a gun. The team make their way through the forest in single file.
Until 1937, this was a free forest where everyone had access.
Hacking a path through with a machete.
The Belgian colony era discovered that this forest is threatened, so they created a reserve which became the Kahuzi-Biega National Park. So the national park is fully protected to prevent the human pressure of the gorillas in their habitat. But life is very difficult here for all inhabitants.
A wide-ranging view over the forest that stretches for miles. Then Vianney and the team stopping when they catch sight of a gorilla climbing a tree.
The family completely scattered around. Each of them's got a tree.
What are they eating? Ficus, because it's the food they like the most. Oh, right.
So then you can see the silverback's got the biggest tree.
Vianney lifts a hand and waves to the silverback.
I think he's relaxing a little bit with our presence because he's letting me see his family.
A gorilla eating high in a tree. Is that a juvenile? This is Pungwe's son. He's called Kagulu.
Kagulu.
It means someone who hasn't got a foot because he was caught in a poacher's trap. But he healed himself. He got up very early in the morning and plunged his feet into the river, leaving them in there for at least 10 minutes. In that way, he disinfected his wounds. Kagulu moves down a branch.
Why are the community members living around the park harming the gorillas in their habitat? Empty stomachs have no ears. They have no choice. We reached 2 million people living around the park. When people are concentrated, dominated by poverty, they have no other means, so they go and rely on the park resources.
A village of scattered houses on the outskirts of the park. The team carry on through the dense forest.
Voilà.
Here it is. We've just come across a trap here. This is very dangerous for gorillas. When they pass through like this, it will just pull on this, and when they try to leave, it traps them like this. He shows Vianney a piece of twine.
So when they're trapped by this, they'll struggle to get off it and then struggle to death by not being able to escape it.
The team walk on down a hillside clearing.
Secondly, deforestation here is enormous. In 2020, more than 1,000 hectares of the habitat of the Eastern Lowland Gorillas has been cleared out. The local people need more land where they can grow crops. people need more space where they can create villages to live in.
A busy main street.
So what can we do now to help the gorillas? Invest into the community.
The park must show the local population that the income we earn from the tourists is the key to redistributing wealth.
This money will go to the public treasure to help the communities in terms of development. When the humans are benefiting from the park, that's a security for the gorillas. In that way, gorillas must pay for their own survival.
There is a paradox here for the silverback. To protect his family, he has to go against his natural instinct. And I can't completely understand why it's so challenging for him. Because Pongo has to learn to trust the very species that threaten him and his family the most.
Motorbikes laden with sacks. Day 33.
I feel like we are making progress. I've started to build a connection with Pongwe, but it's still keeping us at a bit of distance. So for the next week, we are going to try to get a bit closer and see whether it will tolerate our presence from around 20 meters or so. This is risky though, because it's likely to charge.
The thick forest canopy.
There are actually two methods of arbitrating gorillas. The first is a very submissive approach used by a female conservationist called Diane Fossey to get close to mountain gorillas for research purposes.
Vianney inches through the trees. Wait there, Vianney.
But in Cayuzi Biega, they've used a more assertive approach, standing tall, facing the gorillas.
A movement through the trees. He's there, slowly, slowly.
The park's founders had a theory, because they were male, they had to behave in a dominant fashion to win the respect of the silverback.
Vianney moves slowly forwards with his camera.
Obviously, I don't want him to attack me.
Is the silverback over there?
But it's vital for him to get used to humans.
Pongwe is standing on the forest floor, eating. He suddenly charges right up to Vianney's camera. Get back, get back, get back! Pongwe lumbers back off into the forest. It's good when he's charging like that, because we're habituating a gorilla family. There needs to be a lot of charging. And really, I'm very happy with everything. Very happy. Very happy. Day 39. The team move through the forest. Can you see him? Let's move forward again. Silverback male gorillas' charges are totally normal. They're not mounting an attack. All of this is part of the process. He's coming this way for their protection. He won't reach there. Yes, he will, as the females are there. Sitting on a chair inside, Lombert says, when Pongwe charges and stops 10 meters from us and starts looking at us, the females who are there will see that Pongwe doesn't see us as a danger. Disturb this female over there a bit. Lombert pulls hard on a vine, and Pongwe comes charging past, skimming right past the team. He charges again, this time past Vianney. Then he sits amidst dense foliage, watching.
There's a really big part of me that feel like we are
harassing them. Their droppings are diarrhea-like. That means they are slightly stressed. This is what worries me.
Vianney's sitting on the forest floor. He puts his hat back on and brushes down his arm. Then Lambert comes to sit beside him. Vianney asks, how are you feeling today? And do you think there's been any progress with the habituation? The work is progressing well, I really feel good. And do you think that from Pongwei's point of view, it's not what he wants? No, it's not what he wants. Lambert says, Pongwei has already grabbed me 3 times on this foot here. Really? Yeah. Vianney says it's not aggression in and of itself. He's just asking you to keep away, is that it? No, with Pongwei, even if you're 10 meters away from him, he'll come towards you like that. Really? Yes, he was really aggressive. But by God's help, he didn't bite my foot. A machete lies over the barrel of a gun on the forest floor.
It's a very, very risky job, but he keeps doing it to protect these gorillas.
Pongwei is clearly not comfortable with us just yet. But I have respect for that because he's doing what any silverback should do, protecting his family.
Vianney picks his way through the forest.
Do you think you're a silverback?
Oh. Let's put it this way. Every family man on this planet, all dad, are silverbacks. And you're one of them.
Nighttime in the forest.
I'm married to a beautiful English rose.
A photo of her and a baby.
And I have 2 beautiful kids that also support me. I'm a lucky man, but it's been really hard for them. This is a time when they need me.
His teenage daughter playing the piano, then a photo of his wife who's white with long dark hair.
How much time do you spend away from home?
This year I've been away for almost, pretty much, all the time.
His teenage daughter sits playing the piano, her curly dark hair tied back from her face. Vianney sits looking to one side, hands planted on his thighs.
What scares me, though, is that what goes around comes around. I have a fear that one day my kid would leave me.
He covers his face with his hand.
Oh. God, I'm so weak. So weak. Okay, look. I'll be strong. Hang on. The reason I have that fear is because for me, family means everything. They need me so much. And when I leave, you know, it's so painful. But I don't do this job for just a pleasure. I do it now because I want to get people engaged into what needs to be done to make sure that the gorillas are protected. For me in particular, that feeling is an addiction.
Day 50.
The last week has been quite intense for the gorillas. But I'm wondering now whether our constant presence has had an impact in terms of Pongwei allowing us closer to him and his family. It looks very open here. It might give me a chance to see individuals quite clearly, get some nice portraits as well.
A gorilla stalks through the trees on all fours. Vianney has set up his camera and films the gorilla from a few meters away. The gorilla moves on through the undergrowth.
When gorillas see you every day, that's when the trust has started to kick in.
I mean, all of a sudden, through the habituation, you became part of the group. And they start doing things naturally. And that's the moment when you start getting the best out of their behavior.
A gorilla sits quietly chewing. This is a female who's very zen. Isn't that beautiful? Yes, it's beautiful. A couple of gorillas lie on the forest floor, one gently beating its chest. Another stands on all fours, staring over. If all goes well, that's what I want. I'd like to film something like this with Pongwei.
Most females are sort of, you know, quite chilled by now. But Pongwei is a wild animal. He is not going to give you 100% trust. He's got every instinct a man has to protect his family.
He stalks forwards on powerful haunches, the curve of his back a silvery grey colour. Vianney is staring through the bushes. I can just see his head, just the top of his head.
Pongwei, it's only me. He's being very, very cautious of me with the camera. And I keep trying to say, you know, well, look, just want to be a friend. Pongwei. Come on. It's not charging forward. Pongwei is starting to allow us to come. It is a milestone.
Pongwei moves off, and Vianney follows with his camera.
He even standing and staring at me. He never used to do that before.
Usually, a direct eye contact with a silverback is considered to be a threat from a gorilla's point of view. The fact that Pongwei doesn't charge when I'm looking directly at him is potentially a good sign because it means that he might be getting used to me.
The team hangs back behind Vianney as he films. Lambert puts up a steadying hand, then says, let's see what he's going to do. Pongwei inches on through the undergrowth, and Vianney steps forwards. Don't be so loud. But I can't stop myself. A gorilla's sitting on the forest floor, staring over. Vianney says, it's a miracle. Look, with two babies. Yes. Very happy, finally. Lambert beats his chest.
I am literally 10 meters from the baby and the mother. They're just sitting there and looking at us.
Pongwei stands guard nearby.
Females become sexually mature around 7 or 8. Once a female begins to breed, she will give birth to one baby every 4 to 6 years.
That is a cutie.
This low rate of reproduction is what partly makes it difficult for the gorillas to recover from population decline. And knowing that really emphasizes the importance of what we're doing here.
Oh, she's feeding!
Oh, she was feeding it. Look at her face. Just look at that.
I've never seen a mother gorilla feeding the baby.
The baby suckles from the mother. How long do they breastfeed for? From birth until 3 years old. 3 years.
Wow.
That's beautiful. The baby scratches its cheek.
Pungwe is not very far from here. He's keeping an eye on the family.
The team pick their way carefully through the forest.
He's there to look after the family. He's there to solve problems. You know, the confidence, the power. And it takes me back to my grandfather Boniface, you know, just like that. Because... Oh, jeez.
Pungwe cranes his neck. Overcome, Vianne says, man, sorry. I'll just carry on filming for a bit.
Being a strong male figure was one of the most important values he instilled in me.
When I was growing up,
I was left-handed. Back then, if you were left-handed, it's not a good sign for a boy. Being left-hand was seen as being less masculine, basically.
This is just one of the traditions in our culture.
So my granddad would use a bandage to cover my left hand so I can't use it. And that made me very slow at school. I almost believed that I wasn't good enough in a way. When you are the last one to finish everything, you always get a little bit marginalized.
For a powerful creature like Pungwe, if you're gonna be his friend, you gotta be strong. You have to prove to him that you are man enough.
Night turns to day, and wispy clouds hang over the forest canopy. Day 58. Vianney is trying to cross a fast-flowing stream and nearly overbalances.
Throughout the year, gorillas will move through different areas in their territory, find food that they are looking for. I'm well over halfway off my trip now, and the gorillas have moved from the bamboo forest, and they're now in an area where they can eat bark, fruits, and flowers.
And this place is nuts. Not only the density of the forest, the hills are really, really high. We're talking about 500 meters drop. And this is the type of terrain where Pungwe will just ambush the team. So safety-wise, we just have to be extremely careful.
A ranger slips, but quickly rights himself. Come on, come. Pungwe is right in front of them.
Before he would charge from distance, but now he's starting to come really close and, yeah, size me up a bit. But I have to stand tall, and that is key.
Despite how aggressive he looks, now that Pungwe is getting close to us without charging, it's actually a sign that it's getting used to us. I'm certain that Pungwe knows that I want to be a part of his group. But whether he will eventually allow me in, that is the big question.
Wispy clouds drifting over the forest. Vianney carries his camera through the trees.
Tingui, it's me.
Lombert steps back from a thick tangle of foliage, which then rustle with movement. A glimpse of Pungwe's silver back through the leaves.
The previous terrain, he was able to gauge the distance between his family and ours, so it would be more relaxed.
Pungwe charges.
Pungwe! He can't see where we are, so we're moving forward. The team doesn't realise that they're crossing the boundary, so that's the reason why he's coming and then he's charging. This is very dangerous.
Pungwe pounds down the hillside. VNA keeps filming as the team move on through the trees. Pungwe makes a small run. Then he moves closer. As VNA films, Pungwe comes right up to him, then retreats back into the bushes, where he sits, watching.
Oh my God! Pungwe has tried to pull my left foot.
The gorilla moves away, and Vianney watches, with one hand resting on a tree trunk.
It's absolutely remarkable that he decided not to hurt me, because he could, if he wanted to. I think that moment was very meaningful. I have proven to Pungwe that I'm man enough to be his friend. Game on.
Day 63.
Today is a special day. Cayuzi Biega is hosting its largest group of tourists in years to visit the park's only fully habituated gorilla family. And I've been invited to join the group to see how a fully habituated silverback would behave amongst the tourists.
Are you excited about today, or would you rather be filming Pungwe?
I must say, you know, truly, honestly, I'm half-half. My head at the moment is programmed just to get close to Pungwe, but I will equally be excited to be close to an habituated group.
Juvenal Munganga, head of tourism activities.
The tourism sector can make much money. Virunga, Uganda, Rwanda, they have the same product, gorillas. Tourism can help the gorilla because this can help the Kahuzi to promote, to be promoted.
Don't rush. So this is Mr. Bonane with some of the children.
Hello, Bonane.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
As the gorilla picks shoots to eat, Vianney says, I'm going to set up the tripod here. This is going to be a bit of a nightmare.
Obviously, wildlife filming and tourist doesn't quite go together.
Vianney films from a little way back. John.
In the mid-80s to early 90s, we had 7,000 tourists a year. That was before the war. Today, 150 a month. The park has only one gorilla group to visit. But the small income from Bonane Group, it doesn't go far. So it's very important to have a second group.
A tourist asks, is he okay here, or is he a bit sad?
Yeah, he's okay. Yeah.
He's so comfortable there, isn't he? The silverback scratches his head.
There's a huge difference between Pungwe's group and Bunene. The contrast is enormous. Pungwe wouldn't tolerate this.
We can say bye-bye to Bunene. Yeah, yeah.
Bunene is so habituated to the human presence. I have a bit of apprehension, you know. As much as I really would love to be this close to Pungwe, in a way it makes them a bit vulnerable, not being able to distinguish who's good, who's bad. This journey started like a simple idea, following the habituation. But it gets deeper than that, you know, as you're progressing with it.
Soldiers with guns.
The United Nations mission in the Democratic Republic of Congo says 130 civilians were killed by M23 in the villages of Kishishe and Bambo. The M23 movement, a largely Tutsi former rebel group, denied its role in the massacre.
Day 69.
Fucking hell.
The flag of the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
No one in this country wants to see these things again. I know it's not far from where I am. And I do not want this war to spread across the country again.
In light of this news,
are you concerned at all about the habituation process making the guerrillas more vulnerable? Vianney thinks long and hard. Soldiers standing to attention with their rifles. Lombert says, political instability is not good for our work. When war breaks out, then negative impacts are even greater for habituated guerrilla families than non-habituated guerrillas. Think about this. Before the war, we had five habituated guerrilla families. John.
I knew each one by name. The habituated group, they use it to see people every day. They don't run, they don't hide at all. But unhabituated groups, when they hear a little noise, you know, they're ready to hide. If once again fighting continue to be extended to this area, the remaining population of guerrillas will go away.
You think they'd go extinct?
Yes, absolutely.
When there is instability still locally, is there a bit of a conflict in your mind about whether or not more guerrilla groups should be habituated?
I cannot reject the idea of habituating. I support it 100%. Because when the communities have income, they prevent each others not to harm the guerrillas in their habitat.
Day 81.
The history of this place, you know, it was a hunting ground. Pungwe, from a very young age, maybe when he was a baby, he's been witness to some of the upheaval in the past. He's got that in his instinct, you know, to be cautious of humans.
The team are making their way through the forest.
As soon as we arrived, we heard a roar, so he's definitely around. Time is ticking.
Vianney is setting up his camera.
I've got less than 10 days now, and Pungwe has obviously been close enough to touch me. But the ultimate test is to see whether I could be 7 meters from him without him charging.
The rangers ahead of Vianney start to hack through dense foliage.
To be honest though, I'm starting to feel a bit uncomfortable seeing what habituation has done to the other silverback.
Pungwe beats his chest and runs sideways through the trees. Vienna watches with his scarf over his mouth and nose.
Pungwe doesn't want to be filmed today. He's not tolerating any movement.
Why did we choose to habituate Pungwe? Because of the fact that there are a lot of females and there are a lot of babies which can help us meet the demands of our visitors. That's the essential reason for Pungwe's habituation. But you know, Pungwe will not change his behavior like Bonané. Pungwe displays behaviors that are very specific and unique to him. They are different from other gorilla families that I've seen in Kayuzi Biega. Get back.
Despite his scary presence, he's still very vulnerable. Because he's looking, you know, he's not quite sure. He just wants to care about his family.
Pungwe moves back into the bushes.
Pungwe
comes from a habituated family that was killed during the war. He's in the dark over there. When his father was killed, he was around 9 years old.
Never.
Pungwe became an orphan. A ranger starts to hack at the vines, and Pungwe charges. Get back. He stayed alone in the forest. He stayed alone, wandering around in the Pungwe sector. Pungwe makes another half-hearted charge, then retreats back into the bushes.
He's standing there, the babies, everybody else is behind him.
With all the stress, he became completely wild. In slow motion, Pungwe bares his teeth, lumbering forwards and pounding his fists on the ground. Then he retreats to sit in his hollow again, before charging a little way forward once more, his mouth open wide, revealing long, sharp canine teeth. He runs back to his hollow again. Isn't it true that his family was killed when he was young? Yes.
I feel for him. I really feel for him. If I carry this camera like this, if you see it from distance, it looks like I'm carrying a gun. That's perhaps what he is thinking. And every time I'm pointing the camera, he always hides himself.
He disappears into the bushes.
Maybe he's always going to stay like this, huh?
Vianney turns away and says, "Call Lambert, we're going to head back." He paces off through the trees. A small brick hut with a thatched roof. A man is outside, chopping wood with an axe. Inside, Vianney sits at a small table by the window, writing in his journal. Someone brings in an armful of logs and lights a fire. Night falls over the little hut.
I sort of noticed that you seem a bit withdrawn, a bit more sort of distant, and I just wondered what, if anything, is going on for you emotionally.
I just wish I knew a little bit more about what I was getting into. Mentally, it's starting to feel a little bit exhausted because I have two minds fighting each other. One is to see the gorillas being habituated. And one is to have Pungwe remaining Pungwe, like remaining wild, for the sake of his family. Despite the fact that I'm trying hard to get close to him and see if he will accept me as an individual, I would like for Pungwe to be cautious of humans. Because if a gorilla can't distinguish a good person and a bad person, that is a huge concern for me. But when they have a wild instinct, if he was to be an intruder, then from distance, Pungwe will be able to protect the rest of his family and go away. I feel like I have a really genuine connection with him and the rest of his family. And I started to see a lot of elements around Pungwe are connected to my own family. The sad thing with my family is that when the patriarch left, that sort of role wasn't passed on to anyone. Then we all sort of scattered around. I'm in England, my sister is in Paris, my brother is in South Africa, so am I back in the Congo, you name it. That's why it's quite hard, you know, for me, because I don't feel connected to my brothers and sisters anymore. No one was there to maintain this very important value in our family, in my culture. And I would love for Pungwe to have plenty of time to pass that legacy on to his son, so that Pungwe's family doesn't end up like my own and that legacy carries on. I would have loved to be that sort of silverback who would keep my brothers and my sisters, my cousins and my kids all together. I kind of wanted to be like my granddad, you know, having the entire tribe, you know, around. But I've never quite achieved that.
Morning, and coffee's poured into a cup. John, Lombert and Vianney are having breakfast. Vianney says, I have to say that before coming here, my objective was to spread the message that our gorillas are going extinct. To bring people to see them, so that the gorillas are protected, the forest is protected. But there was something inside me that just flipped. In my head, I started to question if Pungwe really is in danger. Do we have to habituate them this much? In my opinion, I'd like Pungwe to stay as he is. Mm-hmm. Just in case something were to happen. Lombert says, I understand your worry, it's our worry too. But we also need a lot more income from tourists to finance the park. John says, yes, gorillas who are habituated to human presence are the most vulnerable. But during the war, when there wasn't any armed surveillance of the park, habituated and non-habituated gorillas were all vulnerable. So armed patrols and habituation will always go together. A gorilla moving in the distance. That relieves me enormously, because basically my connection with Pungwe went further than I thought it would. Lombert nods and says, Vianney, I do understand that you are worried about the gorillas in Kayuzi Biega, but my great coach John is already working with the community. And we've already been successful in reducing the rate of poaching. A woman walks off with a large sack strapped to her back.
conservation is not black and white. It's very complex. John and Lambert, they really are fighting hard for the gorillas to thrive. And I think the symbiotic relationship is going the right way.
Women dancing on the dusty earth with babies strapped to their backs. Day 84.
I've got less than a week to go. I wanted to cement the whole thing around this close proximity with Pungwe. Going home and not being able to accomplish that would feel almost like a little bit of a failure. Simple as that. Yeah. It's not just a wildlife project. To me, gorillas are exceptional. We share so much. So if I can be known for anything, I'd love it to be for this.
In slow motion, Vianney walks past crops and on into the forest with his camera. Leaves fall gently through the air as a gorilla sits high up in a tree, eating.
Look at that.
The gorilla chews calmly, then peers down. Vianney and the team make their way through the dense foliage. Then Vianney crouches down with his camera.
There's a gorilla.
He points to Pungwe, who's sitting a short distance away.
That's Talia. I've never come across a gorilla at this distance. Never.
You're very lovely. Pungwe watches him through the leaves. In slow motion, Vianney stares up into the treetops.
Look. We are surrounded by Pungwe's family. This whole place is peppered with gorillas. We are fully accepted.
Pungwe sits with his back to a trunk, and Vianney waves to a gorilla high up in a tree.
This is one of the sun. It must be around 6. And they want to play.
Vianney beats his chest.
Your turn.
The young gorilla gets up and beats its chest, then leans on a branch, which bends over.
Pungwe is not far. The sun always hangs around his dad.
The sun glints through a tangle of leaves. One of the rangers has dozed off. In slow motion, Vianney moves through the forest. A gorilla sits up in a tree, chewing on a vine. A human hand lets go of a slender stem.
When I got here, I had one thing in my mind, learning about habituation. Throughout the process, you start to learn about a lot of things, you know. This is how we sometimes find ourselves in circumstances that you weren't planning, you were projecting. You know, we live, we learn, and we battle with stuff, you know. Well, certainly me battling with myself and watching Pungwe, reminding me certain things.
A gorilla peers out from a tree.
When you grow up with a granddad, you've never seen crying or anything like that. You know, in moments of sadness, he always was steady, you know. I just wanted to copy my granddad, you know, to be like him. Very dominating. But watching Pungwe being himself made me realize that I'm not a silverback. So I've been putting the facade of looking like one of those, but within the family, I'm definitely not a dominating or controlling figure. you know, which is one thing I have to face, you know.
What do you mean you have to face?
You just face not being a silverback.
Pongwei retreats behind some bushes. Final day. Water gushing over a rock in the forest.
Today is my last day. It'd be really nice just to say a really good, peaceful goodbye. To finish this incredible journey I've had. My only apprehension about that is that he might not be in a good mood. You know, to end it in a really brutal note will be really heart-wrenching for me.
He picks his way through dense foliage, then says, "Hey, Pongwei, beware." Pongwei is up in a tree, but clambers down.
What?
Do you see him? A swift movement through the trees, and flashes of thick black hair. Vianney moves off, with his camera resting on his shoulder.
Might be it. No, very smooth goodbye.
Has he gone up again? He's climbing up again. Pongwei sits down in a tree.
I think this is the best we're going to get from Pongwei today.
He strips the leaves from a stem and chews them.
Watching Pongwei has taught me quite a lot. I think the biggest lesson, put family first. I reached a point now where I started to feel it really heavily, you know, going away for a long time. I would love to spend as much time as possible with my family. Look, he's looking. It's as if he knew today is my last day.
Pongwei stares over from his perch.
I know you, Pongwei, now. I know you.
Pongwei gets to his feet and beats his chest. Vianney looks overcome with emotion.
You see that? Oh, look at that.
Lambert, did you see that? Yes, yes, I'm observing too. Do you know why he's beating like that? Yes, of course, he's saying goodbye. What do you think he's doing? He said goodbye to me.
Dude, I got what I wanted. I can go back now. Honestly, I'm a happy man. That is goodbye. It couldn't be better than that.
Is there anything you would say to your grandfather now?
I would just tell him that I looked up to him and I wanted to make him proud, but we're living a different era now. I wouldn't be like him. You know? If I'm where I am, it's because of a lot of support from my wife, from my kids as well.
Vianney takes off his hat. Hats off to Pongwei. A grainy photo of Vianney's granddad in a suit and tie lifting up his hat. Pongwei disappears into the foliage.
The adventure, the danger, the mishaps and the joy. Listen to behind-the-scenes exploits with David Attenborough and crew in the Planet Earth podcast, available now on Sounds. Here, a drummer's journey of change. Sound of Metal, our Sunday night film premiere, next.